For women and children in crisis, since 1955, there's been a place in downtown Fresno where Christ leads, where people care and where lives have been changed and are being changed. That's at the Evangel Home of Fresno. And thanks for joining us for the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. This is Heartline with your host, Jim Tuck.
Thanks, Ken. What a delight. We get to come into Jerry Brenneman's office and sit down, turn on our little digital handheld recording device and have a conversation. And hear what God's doing through the ministry of Evangel Home in the lives of the women he sends here. And just such a delight to be allowed by the King of the Universe to be part of that ministry process. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. I just was sort of drifting with the King of the Universe idea and just thinking, wow. And visually, everything about that is so powerful.
It is. And exactly right. Because we do serve the King of Kings, the King of the Universe. Everything that is, was, or will be emanates from the God of the Universe. And that's an overwhelming thought and huge visuals that just will take you and run with you.
Took me for a minute.
Yeah.
So I'm back.
Okay. We have Brittany with us today, and we haven't talked much before we turned on. We know a little bit about Brittany's background, but not a lot. But why don't you make the introduction, and then we're going to hear her story.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. I will tell our listening friends the same thing I told Brittany this morning, that she is 23 years old. She told me that. I didn't tell her that. But there is a kindness, I think, that kind of just projects from her. Mm-hmm. Her mannerisms, her smile. She's the kind of person you look at and think, well, what are you doing here? And you want to know her story. And I don't, which is amazing. She's been here 7 weeks in the garden, and I know very little about what brought her here. So I'm eager to hear. But in saying that she has this wonderful, kind spirit. First time I remember meeting Brittany, not the first time, but one of the first times was shortly before our banquet in September. And we were doing those signs, you know, mm-hmm. before and after kinds of things. She had been here really just a day or so, huh, Brittany? So she's here a day or so, and I walk in with all these papers and pens and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. She didn't miss a beat. You know, she sat down. I think she was probably done before everybody. You know, we have the story of the one gal took her 4 days. But Brittany had her 2 words before and her 2 words that she felt that she was becoming now. And I was really very impressed by that. You know, mm-hmm. she didn't ask questions. She didn't say she didn't want to do it or I just got here. I don't know. She just did it. And there just seemed to me at that point, this is a young lady just kind of waiting for the approval. To find out who she is in God and go for it. Mm. What I have seen in her while she's here, you can kind of tell a gossip, Jim. You can watch the women here and see the ones that are always talking, the ones that are always wanting to share everything. I would bet you 100% Brittany is not a gossip. I think Brittany is the one that people would want to share with. And if you gossip, she'd say, why are you telling me this? Because I have a feeling. I could be all wrong, Brittany. You're going to be in trouble when it's your turn to talk if this is all wrong. And the other thing I really appreciate about her is I think she looks around and she sees people that are the lost puppies here in the crisis home. And maybe she doesn't go right to them and say anything, but I know that she sees them. And I know you saw one last night that I just kind of tapped you on the shoulder and said something. Mm-hmm. But we had a new gal in here who was just sitting all by herself at dinner, had just come in. I was teary, was scared. I have no idea if Brittany shared anything with her or what, but I know Brittany watches. Mm. And I think in Brittany there is a desire to serve. I really see that someone who gets outside of herself is able to diminish herself and look at other people.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. Thanks a lot, Brittany. We appreciate you being here. Jerry, you're in the garden, and so you have been in the court system.
Yes.
How much time did you serve?
I was in jail for 2 months waiting for sentencing, and then I was sentenced to alternative sentencing through the garden program here at the Evangel Home, and I was actually picked up about 2 weeks after that, which is a testimony in itself. I know some people wait in jail for months to be picked up for a program, but I was able to come here right away, which is such a blessing.
Now, one of the things we talked about ahead of time was you had some substance abuse in your background that led to the conflict with the criminal justice system. When did that start?
I drank and used marijuana a lot, like in high school and stuff, but using harder things when I actually became like dependent on chemicals and my life started in like a downward spiral. I was a little older. That happened about when I was 21, so about a couple years ago.
And what was your life then for those next couple of years? Well, let me ask you this. What were the two words you put on your sign, what I was? What were those two words?
Okay, those words were self-destructing and afraid.
Okay, what were you afraid of?
You know, I'm not sure. My entire life since childhood, I always lived in a heightened state of anxiety, just fearful, like fear with a capital F of I don't know what, just a crippling fear of the unknown, just anxiety and stress.
Was your home a good home?
I came from a broken home. There, you know, there were issues of abuse in my childhood, but for the most part, I think I grew up happy. I don't think that I carry a lot from my childhood with me, but I'm not sure where the uneasiness that I always lived with really came from.
So you're in jail.
Yes.
And how did Evangel Home come into the picture?
Well, my mother sent me a list of treatment programs in Fresno, long before a treatment program was an alternative for me. It was something that I wanted to do, thinking I might have to spend time in jail. And then upon my release, it was something that I wanted to do for myself. I really wanted to get help for my drug addiction. And she sent me a list of different programs in Fresno, and the Garden right away stood out to me. I loved that it only housed six women. I thought, you know, how great is that? I thought I would get like very focused attention. And even early on then, it's like God had put it on my heart. I didn't really even consider other ones. I knew the Garden was where I was going to go. And then I'd have thoughts like, what makes you think you'll get into such a small program? But it happened.
Okay.
Brittany just made my day because, as you know, and Brittany might know, our focus is on staying small. And, you know, I've sort of been this way and that way sometimes when people say, think of how many women you could help if you were bigger, or don't you guys want to expand? And I think I went through that for a while, Jim, where I thought, why not? Everyone else is. We will. And God kept saying, no, you won't. Mm-hmm. Because there'd always be someone like Brittany who benefits from the small, focused, personal, intense attention she can get. You know, we have the crisis home where we take 10 to 12 women. We have the apartments where we can take about 14 families. That's as big as we want to be when you add that to the Garden. Every one of those women gets focused, personal attention if she wants it. If she doesn't, she leaves. But if they want it, and I think, Brittany, again, thank you for saying that, because that just drives the point home that lots of women need what we have.
Right.
And so we'll keep it.
Yeah, it's a niche that is not otherwise available. And for people like Brittany, it is the answer. Yeah. I mean, it is the best option for people like her. Was there a point, Brittany, when you said, no more, this has to change now?
That point came while I was in jail. I think the fact that my arrest was definitely just a miracle of God. He yanked me out of the situation that I continued to put myself in day after day after day in a very dramatic way. Like, had I not messed up so badly in the eyes of the law, I feel like I would have been released from jail sooner, and I would have been right back to where I was going, doing what I was doing. But it took about 2 weeks of being in there and detoxing from the drugs I'd been using. And I went to a chapel service in there, and just the, I spent the entire service just like crying hysterically in the corner. I just, my spirit was so broken. And I went back to my cell and I just, I really repented of what I'd been doing. It just was so real to me that what a miracle had occurred, that I was in jail, that I was removed from what I'd been doing. And I just thought just how grateful I was. And I was just so ready to just not live that life anymore, because it really wasn't living. It was just existing, like killing time. And I'm just...
Yeah. 7 months in the garden. What class? 7 weeks. I'm sorry. 7 weeks.
Yeah,
a newbie. That's right. What stands out? What's been the most important thing? Maybe class or a relationship. What's been the most important part of those 7 weeks?
I think what stands out most to me is, you know, I came here really wanting this, and I feel like it's just exceeded my expectations. I really feel God's presence here. What I love is I'm surrounded by people who love Jesus. Like when I have a problem or I'm having a bad day, they say, like, let's pray about it. And I love that. And I love all of my classes. I love this home. I love that people come and donate their time for chapel. I really feel like I just see what God has put on people's hearts, and just that there is something out there, and I just feel so blessed to be a part of it. I feel like a part of something that's just so special.
Well, it's an amazing story, and one we've heard before in the rough outline, but just a reminder again, God wants us. God wants Brittany to come to that point, to repent and to want change and reconcile and put herself in a position where she can get the tools to make those changes long term. So bless your heart. Thank you for sharing.
I was reading something this morning about repent, reconcile to the Lord, to others, to yourself, and be refreshed. And I think that is so true. And Brittany needs that time of refreshment that maybe can begin to knock some of that fear away.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brittany.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bless your heart. Very, very articulately stated, and I appreciate that. Jerry, we got 30 seconds. How are the turkeys?
I don't know. I haven't checked. Brittany, have you been in the freezer lately?
I didn't know we had turkeys back there.
I guess we don't. She hasn't seen them. We need turkeys.
All right. We need turkeys. We need paper products. That's a standing need always. This time of year, especially the turkeys, always the paper products. Everything you need at home, we need in great big abundance here. And so do what you can to help. And if you want other ideas, give us a call, 264-4714. And if there's somebody out there listening and you say, I'm Brittany, I need help, call us, 264-4714. Ken, thanks so much. It's your turn to wrap this up and make it a radio program. We look forward to our next adventure here on Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
And I'm happy to let you know that anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, you can find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. Pretty simple to remember, evangelhome.org. That phone number again in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.